It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 14th. I'm Ben Johnson. This week, we're coming to you with help from our friends at KUT in Austin, Texas. We've talked to a bunch of big players this week. Neil deGrasse Tyson, Rosario Dawson, Guy Kawasaki, Neil Young. Well, in the tech world, Twitter co-founder Biz Stone is, in the words of Ron Burgundy, kind of a big deal. Before starting Twitter, he worked at Google. He has since started a sort of crowdsourcing search engine called Jelly, and he's got a new book, Things a Little Bird Told Me, which comes out next month. We met Stone in the bar at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Austin. Biz Stone, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You just turned 40.
Yes, I did.
What is a 40-year-old think about in terms of what you've done thus far and what you're going to do in the next 40 years?
Well, I don't know yet what a 40-year-old thinks about because I just turned 40, so you have to give me a day or two. But in general, I think about doing the things that I love to do, and what I love to do is help other people. And then, on top of that, I found a way to start a company that systemizes or productizes that idea.
Are we talking Twitter or Jelly?
Well, both in a way, but Jelly is purpose-built to enable people to help each other.
Do you feel any pressure to make Jelly as big as Twitter?
No, that's a key thing to think about, is to think in the long term. If I were to look at daily numbers or weekly numbers or monthly numbers now, I would just get very disappointed. So we have to just say, okay, look, you know, let's just keep trying for the next 5 years and see what this looks like, because when you get started, you have to make a ton of assumptions, and most of them are bound to be wrong. So then you just start replacing them and seeing what's what.
I've heard a story, I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, that your job at Google, you got it in part by just having business cards. Biz Stone Genius or something?
That's not how I got the job at Google, but I actually did have, in my youth, I would print out one-off business cards, like, and they were always very vague. They would say things like, Biz Stone, independent professional. Because basically I would do whatever, like, if someone was like, excuse me, do you do research? Yes. Excuse me, do you, this is how I got into web design in the first place. Do you design websites? Of course.
All this stuff strikes me as interesting, especially in terms of what's happening in the tech industry now. There's all this euphoria about how much money can be made, companies are going public. Are we in a situation where there's a lot of fake it till you make it, and is that dangerous?
Fake it till you make it is really dangerous and risky and not for everybody. I mean, those of us who fake it till we make it, we do it because we kind of have to, because we don't have any of the credentials or any of the experience. All we have is our character and integrity, our self-deprecating humor, whatever it takes. And then once you've gotten there, you start helping others in the same position who were you 5 years ago.
Do you have any advice for people as they enter that period, if they're a startup that's, you know, getting a lot of funding and things are looking really good for them?
I think it's really important to have friends you can trust who have nothing to do with what you're doing, that you can run your ideas by, you run your problems by, run your life by. I think what you were getting at is sort of the trouble you can get into when you start a company with a friend and then all of a sudden billions of dollars are at stake. I guess the only advice I can offer there is to separate the emotional investment from the financial investment. Then money isn't money anymore. It's simply a resource like computing time. You think of it in a very sort of abstract way. I know that sounds crazy to people who are like trying to get food on the table for their kids, but if you can think of it as a resource like anything else, it's much easier to not fight over it that way.
Biz Stone, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Usually on Fridays, we play Silicon Tally, but we're going to take a break this week and keep talking Austin. You can still play a version of the game on our website, though, and our other interviews from this week are there as well. One of the ongoing conversations we've been having all week in Austin is about data, how we're trying to use it to live a better life with the help of wearable devices that are collecting it, how the government is collecting it, and what that means about our privacy, data's use in supercomputer climate modeling, even how real-time data from Twitter can make you a custom Oreo. If you haven't heard those conversations, you should head to marketplacetech.org and check them out. But to finish off the week, we wanted you to hear how some people at South by Southwest were thinking about when to share and when not to share their data. First up, Vijay Tucker from a startup called Curious Science.
In terms of publicly sharing data, the only data that I'm actually posting out there is stuff on Facebook. I have a group of friends that can't go to South by Interactive and enjoys seeing the panels that I see, so I usually aggregate together all my quotes from the day and put them up for each day and get a lot of positive feedback, actually. I'm pretty public in general, but at the same time, I only try and put content out there that I feel is compelling to other people. So I don't live tweet everywhere I'm at or anything like that, just because it feels like noise in the world instead of something concentrated and compelling.
Another person thinking about their personal data this week was Leslie Hales.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the kind of normal social media sites. I'm not really on like the location grid just because I feel like that's a little just too much. Just because I feel like that's a little too personal. I don't know if I want everyone knowing where I am every second of the day.
Speaking of location data, this is our last day broadcasting from Austin. We'll be back in New York next week. I want to give a huge thank you to the folks at KUT here. Excellent hosts, great makers of radio. High fives, guys. See you next year. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.